Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hip it, the hip it, the hip hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It's time when we talk with a couple of friends about the events of the week here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Today I've got with me repeat offender Ed Carson.
Guilty.
he is a principal at Carson Lovell, Inc. He is also on the Santa Rosa Planning Board. I think he got dragged back into that. Did I describe that accurately, that you got dragged back into that?
No, this is my first sentence. So
okay. All right. I just remember kind of a, well, I'll do it if nobody else will. So, yeah. And then Teresa Blackwell, who is an advocate for Beulah, she has been mostly in the news and at meetings talking about the, you know, OLF 8 property and the master planning of Beulah in general. But her background is she was a reporter with the Tampa Bay Times for about 10 years and a photojournalist for about 20 years. So, Teresa, and this is the first time we've met, so welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you. Very happy to be here today.
Great to have you. Well, I have a lot of stuff I want to get to with you guys, but let's start with OLF 8 because I know that's your kind of bailiwick, Teresa. The big overall question that a lot of us have still about OLF 8 is, are we going to get anything that looks like the deal that was hammered out? Of course, Wes Moreno continues to assure me that, yes, absolutely, the commissioners will follow the spirit of the master plan for sure. And, of course, from the dais, generally they have been saying that. But obviously you were very much on the other side of a lot of these issues from the commissioner of that district, Jeff Bergosh. Do you have confidence that the master plan is going to be followed, or at least honored, if not followed in every letter and jot and tittle?
When I get finished fighting for this, yes, we will follow the master plan. I'm just getting started.
All right, I gotcha.
Beulah's waking up, and they want something more.
So yes, but not because of its own, like, the goodwill of the commissioners.
No, not in any way, except for Commissioner Bender. He does understand what the town center can mean for us. He lived in a place like that, and he knows it's not just a shopping center with a Target and a Costco and those national brands you could see anywhere along the interstate. So it'll be a fight, and it'll take all of us, not just me, not just two or three. We have to show up in numbers that we look like a lot of voters. And the spirit of the master plan, so far, that offer from Sterling was not in the spirit. It violated our land development code. It violated the DPZ master plan, which is about 500 pages of design code. It ignored all of that. It is the old style, post-World War II, car-centric type of development. And that is not what we need in Beulah. That is not what we want. We want a heart to our town. A downtown with the things that any small town would take for granted, like public facilities, a place to meet so we don't have to borrow a church, police, fire, a school. This is where we live. Yes, it's a countywide project, but we'll pay back those other districts for the money that was invested. In Beulah, we will live this place for decades to come. So I am in the fight, in case any of the commissioners are wondering. And, you know, I might break a bit of news. At the last BCC meeting, the Breland companies told me they weren't notified about that they were expected to show up with a plan and present it to the BCC until the day before.
Wow. So, now, and that was what, and for those who haven't been following the issue all that closely, the Breland proposal had been one of the proposals, and then the Sterling proposal with D.R. Horton as the home builder came in as well. D.R. Horton and Sterling showed up at the meeting. Breland did not. And there had been this question of whether Breland had notification of the meeting, whether they knew April 6th was going to be the time to be there or not. And they basically got very, you know, criticized by both Mike Kohler and Jeff Bergosh for not showing up to the meeting. But then there was this question of whether they even knew that it was happening. You're saying you've talked to Breland and they did not know the meeting was happening.
Yes, and I told the commissioners that. And the other thing is they criticized their plan, which they threw together in a few hours. They live up in Huntsville. They couldn't develop a plan and be there the next day to present it. So I did put in a public records request. Wes Marino had, you know, I said at the meeting that it was not fair to them to go ahead with another company when they did not get notice. And Wes Marino, Commissioner May asked Wes Marino, he said, do we have documentation? Well, Wes Marino said, yes, I contacted them. Just last week, I talked with a representative of their partner. I don't know that they have a partner. And they discussed the meeting, and this representative was looking forward to it. Well, I put in a public records request, and Andrea Mitchell sent back a reply that said, no documentation exists. Wes had said, Commissioner May turned to him and said, we want to be fair to our friends. You know, I like the Breland companies. You have documentation, right? And Wes said, absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll find out, because that would very, very significantly change the context of the decision to move ahead with the one in the absence of the competitor. Now, before we get to you, Ed, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, let me get a real quick traffic on the fives from Candy.
Not showing any problems right now. It looks like everything's running smoothly. Taking a look in Beulah, like 9 Mile Road doing just fine. Mobile Highway A-OK and Beulah Road also fine. Certainly, if you see an accident, 437-1620, you can text in your traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Ed, I know Teresa's been kind of talking about the OLFA project, and I know, you know, you're more of a Santa Rosa County guy, but you're a developer. Okay, you know how these things work. And I wanted to give you your chance to, you know, comment. Particularly, one of the things I want to talk about is the choice of Horton as the home builder, which I've said this before, I don't really have a personal opinion, but all I hear is negative from everybody in all kinds of different ways, and that concerns me as well.
And I think that's well-founded, Andrew. I think where we get with this is that we need affordable housing. Affordable housing isn't custom housing. I'm not here to defend D.R. Horton, because I wouldn't, but you know, where do we draw the line? They bring to market a product that is more, I'm going to say, affordable. And that's just a fact. So it gets you in a tight spot, quite frankly. It's part of our land development code issues as well over in Santa Rosa County. You know, when you start heaping regulations on, it drives up costs. Puts little guys out of business, little builders. It leaves only space for the D.R. Hortons of the world. So it's not that cut and dry for me.
Okay, and I think that's one of the concerns that people have looking at Horton as the builder and the plan that they have put forward is, you know, we want this beautiful, amazing town center, whether Beulah ever becomes its own incorporated area. That's the kind of concept that we're looking for. And here we've got row upon row of basically tracked standard homes, you know, put some sticks up and put some roof on and put carpet in and you're done. And, you know, that creates affordability, right. But that does not create the kind of identity, uniqueness, and draw for the kind of folks that we would say generally we want to be living out at OLFA. Teresa?
I would say to that good design does not have to be expensive. There are a lot of choices you can make that don't cost anything more. And the DPC master plan, that covers a lot of that. There are things you can do, like creating four squares that have four units in one building that looks like one house. You can have smaller units. So I don't think we have to settle for D.R. Horton. And the other thing is, the residential that goes in, it should go first, and that helps to support and bring in both the light industrial and the retail. So you want that residential to be good. You want them to be able to go and look at it, and it should be designed well with open spaces for people to have to be outside and to get together, and that's necessary. We can't have the same look all the same houses in a huge mass and attract what we want.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like the kind of people that would be that you would want there because they're going to have the disposable income, or they're going to want to be the people who are going to shop at these stores, it's going to draw those in. would be people who are going to probably have a little bit higher demands for the nature of the community and for the kind of house that they're looking at, which that makes sense to me. Ed, you were saying something a moment ago, and I want to you to elaborate on it. The idea that the restrictions or design codes being built into the LDC, which is the land development code, something that you're working on the planning board, that actually pushes the smaller local businesses, builders, kind of out of the market, or it disadvantages them. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, we're looking at some amendments to the land development code, and there's several that are significant when it comes to costs and the scale of a development. If you're doing a 20-lot subdivision, there's essentially the same amount of work involved with that as if you're doing a 500-lot subdivision. So, you know, the cost per lot gets a good bit higher, and the little guys, you know, that do 10 and 20 lot meets and bounds subdivisions, actually, these new regulations that are being proposed, they're going to drive up the cost to where the little guys just can't do that. They can't afford it.
So basically, in order for them to comply, it's going to push them out of competitive pricing with the tract home style builders.
Well, to front those costs, and you know, you're talking millions of dollars sometimes. It's just not a situation that's going to help these smaller builders. And I think we want to try to protect them. At least I do. And it's tough, though. I mean, there's certainly some validity to these points that are being made in the land development code or the proposed new land development code. But we've got to figure out a way to make it work for everybody.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I would say, of course, it would be better to have incremental development. We'd get more variety, more interesting place. But there are some new avenues for helping to afford housing just lately. Grants that were in the paper that actually are very generous. It goes all the way up to 120% of the median wage, which would get you up to the people can make about $94,000 a year.
Okay.
And still be considered affordable housing. And the other thing is, I want people who work on OLF 8 to be able to live there. That's part of the walkability. They should have that choice.
Right.
We have to have something there that they can afford, and we can get all kinds of grants. Plus, there's Section 8, which, you know, maybe that doesn't have a good connotation, but that can work too. Commissioner May is...
Yeah, if you can find a way to put any kind of Section 8 housing there, you obviously get Lumen May's vote.
Yes, yes.
Because that's what he said. I think even he thinks of that as pie in the sky joking, but if that's a possibility, you 100% will get his vote.
Yeah, and that is not the old style building dedicated all to Section 8. You mix that in with everything else, and you've got all incomes together. We want a cohesive community, a diversity of incomes and everything else, and we want a place that can provide for Beulah into the future, and that will draw investment as well as our children and grandchildren. They will want to be there. They will want to stay in Pensacola.
When I think about the OLFA project, it reminds me of the conversation Santa Rosa's been having a lot about the what is the huge project, the 2,000-acre project? All of a sudden, I just can't think of it.
Industrial park over on 87.
No.
It's housing.
Oh, Jubilee.
Jubilee. Thank you. Good Lord. the Jubilee project, which is, you know, that's not meant to be the same as OLFA, but that's an even larger scale version of, hey, let's do something that's a comprehensive community, right?
Correct. Yeah, they've met some serious resistance from the residents of Santa Rosa County. And actually, some of the new provisions that are being proposed for the land development code have come out of those discussions.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's been, I mean, we've covered this quite a bit, and I know there's been a lot of changes in the Jubilee Project because of pushback from the citizens, particularly led by the Fowler family that have done an amazing job of just showing up and being annoying, but making good points that the commissioners are now trying to take into stock. Now, you've been working on the LDC in Santa Rosa County. We've kind of talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
You were at the meeting till what, 11 on Monday?
11:30 Monday. Yeah.
And then last night, 10:30. Which was a zoning meeting last night?
Zoning meeting, however, the last 45 minutes or so of it were further discussions about process, and we're kind of hung up on that right now.
So, I mean, if I'm just a listener and I'm trying to understand what's happening at the planning and the zoning board meetings in regard to this LDC, I mean, what are the things that you're really getting hung up on? What does it mean to me?
Specific items are to do with what I was talking about before, meets and bounds, subdivisions.
What does that mean?
Instead of having a subdivision with a plat and, lot one, block A.
Okay.
The property is described by the way a survey would. 220 feet northwest to a point, then you turn 400 feet to a point, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And it's a lot different than getting a subdivision platted and all the lots are just one side by side.
Okay. And you guys are working, and how are you working on that?
Well, there's always been some concern about there's no real oversight on meets and bounds for storm drainage. So they're trying to put some provisions in there to handle that. And again, it drives up the cost. These types of divisions tend to be rural. So, it's the old Santa Rosa County question of we want it rural and this side wants it not so rural. And so there's a clash.
A tension between the rural and the urban, and also between the how much regulation or not, because again, that drives up the cost issue. Let me pause this for just a second. It's The Wrap. We've got Ed Carson here in studio with Carson Lovell Incorporated, and Teresa Blackwell, who is an advocate for Beulah and a former reporter. Candy's got Traffic on the Fives.
I was trying to find the Green Acres theme. The cars. The stars. Okay, now. There was an accident that just happened. This car crash at Barrancas in Maine in Pensacola. It just happened and blocking both lanes heading south Bayou Chico. That's on Barrancas. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. Thank you for doing so. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We always run out of time pretty quickly. Go ahead, Teresa.
As a final thing, I'd just like to say that the DPZ master plan is all we have. They're a design code to protect us from poor development like we have seen from DR Horton. That's what we have to stick with. That's what's in our plan. That was the commissioner's promise to the people of Beulah, and so many of us contributed to that plan.
And again, I trust Wes, and Wes has assured me repeatedly, but trust but verify, and also make sure that we watch the process, because I think at this point there's honestly an open question about whether we stick with the Sterling and D.R. Horton or whether we open it back up to Breland. The commissioners can undo what they've done, certainly. You would think that since nothing's been done yet officially, they're on negotiations anyway. Ed, you look like you wanted to jump in on this. Go ahead.
I go back to the old days where Jim Cronley was trying to put this whole thing together as an industrial park, which is prior to Navy Fed and Nature Trail and all that stuff. So I'm an economic developer person too, so I'm torn as to, the original intent and where this thing's heading. So hopefully it'll land somewhere. I just don't know where it's going to
land. Yeah, and there's a little bit of all of it, I think, in there, but it's certainly not what, Cronley had originally envisioned and what, Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh had originally thought of as it being almost exclusively or largely that light industrial, which, of course, is why the citizens pushed back and said, no, this is our land. We don't have to use it that way, right?
Right. It's not just what we want. It's what the market will support.
Right.
And I've been saying that for years, that we needed some residential.
Yeah, and again, the residential, the value isn't just because that's people need places to live, that's obvious, but because having those people there is what will support the ability to draw in the other commercial, retail, the entertainment, Jeff Bergosh's precious steak shop, all of
He'll
that kind of stuff.
He'll get his glass of wine with his steak, yes. Exactly. So what? Listen, I have a column in the paper Sunday.
I'm looking forward to that in the PNJ.
PNJ. So there's that.
Very good. Well, we always run out of time. I didn't even get to the eight other things I had on my list to talk about with you. Yeah. But that's good. That's why I wanted to hear. And that's why I wanted you here, Ed, because you see things from the developer perspective, you know, and you have those kind of questions. So let me just say this. Teresa, I appreciate the work that you've done, that you keep passionately arguing for the perspective of the citizens. And Ed, I appreciate what you do, especially now working on the land development code and always being available whenever I call you and have a question. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely.